why we serve.
All right. Well, good morning, church family. Good to see you. Welcome in. And if you're with us online, thank you for tuning in this morning. I'm really excited for our church because of the series that we're in right now, which is One Conversation at a Time. Last week, Pastor James started the series in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. We looked at the story of the man who had been lame for 38 years. Jesus approaches him and he asks the question, "Do you want to get well?" And the man responds with excuses. He says, "How can I get well if someone's always beating me to the pool, if no one will take me to the pool?" And so what Pastor did last week is he really showed us that Jesus is the one who brings true life change. And this week, we're going to continue in our two-part of the mission statement series. So now we're going to look at what it means about the one conversation at a time component of our mission statement. So just, if you would just do this with me, I want us to say our mission statement together. Hopefully that doesn't scare you. And if you don't know it, this is a great time to learn it. Okay, so at First Baptist Tomball, we exist to invite others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, one conversation at a time. Thank you so much, Lena. I see you. I'm glad that you know it. But that is why we exist. So at First Baptist Church Tomball, our mission statement is deeply rooted in Scripture. Scripture is full of imperatives for followers of Jesus to go and share their faith. So we see this in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you." We see this in Mark 16, 15. Jesus says, "Just go, therefore, and share the gospel." Even to the way that we live our life, our lifestyle, Philippians 1, 27. We are to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. So, if I can just, for a moment, address the elephant in the room, why don't we have gospel conversations? We know that we should have gospel conversations. We know we should be reaching people beyond the walls that we're sitting in right now. So if we can just speculate for a second together, here's some things that I would for you to consider asking yourself. The first one is maybe it's fear of rejection. You're nervous about how someone's going to respond to you whenever you share Jesus with them. Maybe you feel unqualified. Like, hey, I don't know enough. Like, who am I to share Jesus with someone? I need to learn more before I go share it with someone. Or maybe you simply just think, hey, it's not my job to share the gospel with someone. If I invite them to church, my pastor will do that. Whatever your rationale, whatever your reason is, I think that's a problem that we're seeing in our church, our global church as a whole, and we just need to address this. So I've got some studies here from Barna Organization. I have two different polls. They are both multi-generational. So the first one happened in 1993. The second poll happened in 2017. So the numbers that I want to highlight here, in 1993, a group of 446 believers, 11% of those people, so roughly 49 people would say that they actively sought or actively created opportunities to share the gospel. 49 of 446. Let's fast forward to 2017. This time it's 796. Why they didn't use the same number of people, I actually really don't have the answer to that. But 796, so 800 people. Of this number, 19% of people would say that they actively sought to create opportunities to share the gospel. For my mathematicians in the room, that is 151 people of 796 people sought to share the gospel. So, if you're looking at that and you're discouraged, I think we should own a little bit of that. But I also want to highlight that there's been a slight improvement 25 years between the two, 1993 to 2017. But I would also tell you, we've not arrived. As a group of believers, we have so much room to grow in and sharing our faith with others. So, what does this mean for us this morning? I think it means that we know we should share the gospel. That's not the issue for us. I think the issue for us is the how-to. How do we share the gospel with people around us? And that's the question that we're going to answer this morning. So, if you've got your Bible, do me a favor and turn to Acts chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 26 through 40 together. Acts chapter 8, 26 through 40. And while you're turning there, I want us to take a moment and define the term gospel conversation. So I think there's a ton of ways that you could legitimately define what a gospel conversation is. But for the sake of just unison, being on the same page this morning, I want to define a gospel conversation as this. It is any conversation that invites someone to consider finding their greatest pleasure or purpose in Jesus. So for us, practically, Jesus has changed my life and I have delight in the Lord. How can I share that with someone? Jesus has called me to live for him, to fulfill the Great Commission. That's my purpose. How can I share that with someone? So any conversation in that realm that invites someone to consider the reality of finding their purpose and pleasure in Jesus. So Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. We do this in student ministry on Wednesdays. When we're at our text, we say, I got it. So if you could help me out, we're going to read Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Everyone, if you're there with me, can you say, I got it? Awesome. Thank you very much. This is the word of God, starting in verse 26. It says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip to get up and to go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and he went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, which this is a title, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem, and he was sitting in his chariot on his way home, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip to go and to join that chariot. So the very first thing that we see in this passage, and the very first thing that makes a gospel conversation, is that it is Spirit-led, that it is led by the Spirit. So Philip listened to the Holy Spirit. He was leading him to this moment to participate in this divinely orchestrated conversation that the Lord had set apart. So the two things, very simple for us to look at. Number one, Philip listened to the Holy Spirit. But number two, Philip actually obeyed the Holy Spirit. He didn't speak back and say, Lord, I don't want to do this. Why me? Why are you asking me to go pursue this man? Instead, he simply positioned himself to be where God wanted him to be. So sometimes, here's why that matters. Sometimes sharing our faith is not about our personality. It's not about, am I an introvert? Am I an extrovert? Do I like to talk to people? Do I not like to talk to people? All the time, sharing our faith starts with our sensitivity to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Are we listening to him as he guides us? Are we positioning ourselves to be where the Lord wants us to be? Show of hands, how many of us in the room would say that we've ever felt a nudge from the Holy Spirit to go talk to someone or to go do something? Show of hands. Thank you. I appreciate it. On the flip side of that, show of hands as well, how many of us have felt the Holy Spirit ask us to do something, and whatever the reason, we didn't listen to the Holy Spirit? So I love your honesty. Thank you. I'm with you. I can relate. Several years ago, Mackenzie and I were in California for a conference in Southern California, and we got to our hotel. We're walking in. We're about to check in, and the lady at the front desk asked me, she sees my shirt. It has a scripture reference from the book of Psalms on it. She asked me, hey, what does that verse mean? And I get to share with the lady about the verse, and she says, oh, that's actually a really sweet, really cool verse. And she says, you know what, just on her own, maybe the Lord prompting her, you know what, it's been a very long time since I've went to church, and I feel like it's something I need to explore again. And in that moment, my heart starts racing. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this could be such a really good opportunity to talk with this woman, to have a faith conversation that maybe leads her back to repentance, whatever this looks like. And I start over-rationalizing and overthinking, and I hear someone walk in the door behind me, the bell goes off, and all of these thoughts are setting in, and I'm panicking, and eventually it led to nothing. I folded in that moment. I walked away, not having been faithful, not having listened to the Spirit. And we get back to the hotel room, and later that night, we go out for dinner, and I have a heavy heart, and Mackenzie can very clearly tell something's wrong with me. She said, Casey, what's going on? And I told her, and I still remember this several years to this day, I said, I missed such an important opportunity to share the gospel with that woman. And if you're anything like me, maybe you too have had moments where you just missed it, where you missed the opportunity that the Lord put in front of you. Whether you were uncomfortable, whether you thought, oh, Lord, I don't really want to do this. This is why Philip's story challenges me so much, because he went, he listened, and he actually obeyed the Holy Spirit. And this is what I'm praying over us as a group of believers at First Baptist Tomball, that we would be people who are so in tune with the Holy Spirit, that we are listening. There's this level of sensitivity to wherever he's leading us to, whoever he's leading us to, that we would actually go in pursuit of it. Let's keep reading verse 30. It says, when Philip ran up to it, talking about the chariot, it says, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you are reading? He says, how can I, unless someone guides me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. Now the scripture passage that he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. This passage that he is reading is Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. In verse 34, the eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is this prophet saying this about? Is he saying this about himself, or is he saying this about someone else? Very beautifully, verse 35, Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. Here's what I love when you see this. Philip never once assumed the level of spirituality from this eunuch. He never thought, oh, he probably knows. He probably has some level of understanding. He just simply engaged him intentionally with the question, do you understand what you're reading? The man says, how can I, unless someone walks me through, unless someone shows me? And then Philip actually did it. He actually walked the man through the passage. And this conversation eventually led to the perfect moment where Philip got to tell him about Jesus. And you might ask, how did he do it? Beginning with verse 35, it says, he proceeded to tell the man the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture in Isaiah. So the two things that I want you to know about scripture. Number one, God's word has all authority. So my words might encourage someone, it might inspire, but my words alone will never lead to someone's life change. I cannot curate life change in someone. Only Jesus can do that. Only the word of God. It is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, and for correction. The second thing is scripture is what keeps the gospel clear. So I never want to just drift into telling someone how to be a better person. I don't want to give people moral advice or opinions or cultural thoughts. Scripture alone is what anchors me in sharing about the hope of Jesus. So we'll keep reading our last couple of verses together. Verse 36, it says, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, look, there's some water. What would keep me from being baptized right now? I want to insert something here. It's maybe not in your translation. I'm reading from CSB, but this is not in the CSB, ESV, or the NIV, but it is in the KJV. So I'll just give that disclaimer. This is what verse 37 says. Philip is saying, if you believe, you will be saved. And the eunuch responds, I do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we know, as we have a conversation with someone sharing the gospel, we know that's a part of the conversation. So then, verse 38, so he ordered the chariot to stop. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. So the final thing we see in this passage, and the final thing that makes a gospel conversation, is there has to be an invitation. We've got to give people a chance to respond to the hope of Jesus. And that's what Philip did. He pressed him. Hey, do you say Jesus is Lord? Do you want to be baptized? And this Ethiopian man is eager. He's saying, what could stop me from being baptized? I want to walk in a relationship with Jesus. Is there anything that's in my way to walk with Jesus? So the gospel should always call for a decision. Whether that is someone accepts the gospel of Jesus or rejects the gospel of Jesus. Whether that's they allow it to change everything about their life or to just simply walk away. So for us, as Christians, when we have conversations, sharing our faith, telling someone else about how Jesus is our greatest pleasure and purpose, we've got to present an opportunity for people to respond. Because if the gospel is just information, it does nothing for us. It's got to translate from our head to our heart. We've got to give people a chance to respond to it. So whether that is with your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, your neighbors, here's a couple of simple ways that we can ask people to respond. Very simply put, do you want to follow Jesus? I know that feels really simple, but it's direct and it's to the point. Do you want to follow Jesus? Or in light of what we've talked about today, how would you like to respond? Or would you like to begin a relationship with Jesus today? We've got to begin presenting a response for people. So this morning, we've talked very clearly about what a gospel conversation is, that it is spirit-led, that it is intentional and rooted in scripture, and that it should always leave room for an invitation. But just to avoid any level of misunderstanding, miscommunication, I think there's a couple of misconceptions that the global church has come to believe about what could make a gospel conversation. And I kind of just want to address these misconceptions that we have. So one thing, a gospel conversation is not being kind to someone. Now hear me, as a follower of Jesus, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That should be your demeanor as you interact with people and have conversations. They should see that on you. But if that's all the conversation is, they'll walk away thinking, hey, that person was really nice. That person was very kind. But it still does not point them to the hope of Jesus. A gospel conversation is not winning an argument. It is really important for us to defend the hope of the gospel, and we should do that. But oftentimes when we approach a gospel conversation as, let me just try to prove you wrong and prove how what I believe is ultimate and dogmatic, what will happen is oftentimes we might win the debate, but we'll probably lose the person. Because 1 Peter 3:15, it says to always be prepared to give a hope and a reason for the hope that you have in Jesus. But Peter says, do this with gentleness and respect. So again, we defend the gospel, but if we're just in it to argue, it rarely actually leads to a life that's transformed. So we've got to be very careful when we treat conversations that way. I want to lean into this one. Sharing the gospel is not inviting someone to church. It is super important. Please hear me. It is super important for us to be people who invite others in to the things that we appreciate. So we are a collective part of the body of Christ. We're here. This is a part of our rhythms of what we do. We worship together in community. So we should invite others. And I think actually it would be beautiful for our church to have an invite culture. I think that's really important. But please also hear me, that that's not fulfilling your responsibility as a follower of Jesus to just invite someone to church. Now, whenever they come to these spaces, hopefully they will hear the gospel very clearly presented, have a chance to respond. But a statistic from Barna in 2021, this is just for Generation Z that was polled, it said that 50% of believers who are Generation Z viewed inviting someone to a church service as evangelism. So half of the people polled. And when we think like this, what we are saying, whether it's intentional or not, we are saying, it is not my job to share the gospel. My pastor will take care of that. My student pastor, my kids minister, whatever you're saying is that it's not my job. Someone else will share the gospel. And that is harmful thinking for us to be that way as a follower of Jesus. So if I can plead with you, pastors, ministry leaders are not the only ones that are called to share the gospel. We all, as followers of Jesus, are called to share the gospel. Lastly, sharing the gospel is not about you. I understand when we go into a conversation, it can be really easy to internalize what we're saying and think to ourselves, am I saying the right thing? What if I do say something that's offensive to them? What if I don't know enough? And what if they reject me? And if I can just tell you, it's not about your confidence level. It's not about your ability to persuade. It is simply about your job to being faithful, to share the hope of Jesus, to point people to him. So what does that mean for us this morning? I think it means that you don't have to have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. We just point them to the one who is the answer. That's Jesus. We don't save anyone. God is the only one who saves. We need to just be faithful to plant the seed. You don't have to be perfect in your approach, which oftentimes we're not. We'll say things that aren't probably the greatest or that could hinder, but we just need to be faithful because God wants to use you. So we've talked about what a gospel conversation is, what it isn't. So in light of what we've heard this morning, I believe the Lord is calling us to respond in a very specific set of ways. The first one, I think as believers, we need to begin owning our calling. We've got to own our calling. We've got to move from this mindset of, I don't have to share the gospel, someone else will do it for me, to, no, I am called to share the gospel as a follower of Jesus. Acts 1:8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You're called to share the gospel. So we've got to own our calling. We've got to stop delegating our responsibility to other people. Second, I believe the Lord's asking us to pray for gospel conversations. There are people that we interact with on a daily basis who do not carry the same hope of Jesus that we carry. And if you would say, most of my friends are believers, then I would say we need to do a better job of surrounding ourselves with people who don't have the hope of Jesus. We need to begin praying for chances to share the gospel with others. So whether that is a friend, whether that is a classmate, whether that is a family member, in most cases, I understand how that can be. We need to begin praying for opportunities. I have a friend who says it this way, that we are called to be a detective of divinity, meaning God's already at work in the world all around us, and sometimes we just need to slow down. We need to open our eyes and realize God's already working here. How can I join him? How can I be faithful to be salt and light to this person? Lastly, I would say this morning that the Lord is calling us to be faithful to go have one, to have a gospel conversation. You know, it could be really easy to sit in a service like this and to hear from the text, to agree, like this is really good biblical truth, to nod along, but to not actually do it, to not actually apply what Jesus is calling us to do. Philip didn't just listen to the Holy Spirit, he actually obeyed. He went, he ran up to the chariot, and he engaged this man and led him to Jesus. So this week, begin looking for moments with the people around you. Ask a question like Philip did intentionally with this man. Ask a question, share your story about how Jesus has changed your life. Point someone to Jesus. And when you do that this week, we want you to share that with the people in your life because it is worth celebrating. So whether that is you telling your small group, whether that is you telling a friend, us as the ministry staff, come encourage us to see how you've been faithful, how God is using you and working through you to share the gospel with others. But this morning, I want to make it very clear. If you've not heard anything, I want you to very clearly hear this. At First Baptist Church Tomball, collectively, as a group of believers, God has called us, he has placed us here to exist, to invite other people in to a life-changing relationship with Jesus, one conversation at a time. Let me pray for us. Father, would that be so? Would we be people who are about your business, Lord? Would we be people who fulfill the Great Commission? What a joy, Lord, that you've changed our life. You are our joy and our hope. You've given us purpose, that we get to walk alongside you on this calling you've given us as ambassadors for you. God, this morning could have been encouraging, but maybe for some of us it could be challenging. And I think we need that, Lord. We need to be reminded. We need to get out of our comfortability. We need to be pressed more into the image of Jesus. We need to be faithful. So Lord, would you do that in us? Would you convict us? We want to look more like Jesus. We want this world to look more like Jesus. We have an eternal hope, but there are people around us that don't. So Lord, help us, use us in our imperfection. Use us in our lack of knowledge. Use us in whatever ways that you want to use us. We just want to present ourselves to you. We want to be faithful and ask, Lord, will you use us in all the areas that you've placed us in? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.